Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's a Friday. Kornheiser is off, and we are on the deuce.
Perfect conditions for Phil and Frank.
Man, there you go. There you go. In New York City.
Bill, if I'm on ESPN News, I show up. Doesn't matter. ESPN Classics,
I'm glad you're so enthusiastic. We like that attitude. We like bringing that.
It's a huge basketball weekend.
Bringing that
NBA, college.
Yep. Welcome to PTI. Tony folded before Friday. So I'm thrilled to be joined by our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
Like two people clapping.
Yeah, that's not right. Exactly a March Madness effort, but we'll take it, though. And we're going to start with the men's Sweet 16. Number 2 seed Arizona fell to Clemson early, and 1 seed North Carolina fell to Alabama late. Illinois outlasted Iowa State, while defending champion UConn just blasted San Diego State by 30. Frank, your takeaways from last night's result are what?
Yeah, it's the same takeaway I had when the tournament started. Mike, you're wondering, can anybody beat UConn? And we're still wondering that. They have a 9-game winning streak in the tournament. They won every game by double digits. I get it. They'll get Illinois. That will not be an easy game. But I'm really interested in the two football schools, Clemson and Alabama, what they were able to do to go out to L.A. and beat higher-seeded teams. Clemson holding Arizona 10 minutes without a field goal. And then Caleb Love had a brutal game, 0-for-9 on three-pointers. And then in the nightcap, how about North Carolina with R.J. Davis? He had a rough game also, 0-for-9. But he did go to the free throw line late and gave them a lead. And then they had that three-pointer by Jalen Withers. Why are you shooting with 10 seconds left on the shot clock? You came into the game 4-of-19 on threes this season. He misses that. And then the kid, Grant Nelson, who for me was the star of the night. How good was he? He scored 15 points in the last 7 minutes. He had three blocks in the last 99 seconds.
He was great, including
the game.
So,
Mike, think about it.
It was great.
So, think about it. When I hear Clemson, Alabama in L.A., I'm thinking football game at the Rose Bowl. Instead, it's the second time both schools have been in the Elite Eight, and one of them is going to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, Frank, I mean, the highlights you just went over struck me as well. I'm going to probably zero in a little bit on Illinois. I don't know anybody besides me that's picking Illinois to win the entire thing. I picked Illinois. That's my bracket. Illinois to win. Yep. I know going through UConn, which to me will be the game of the tournament, going through UConn is going to be tough because I agree with you, Frank. The takeaway is, my God, UConn's nuclear. You know UConn's closest game so far? Against Northwestern.
Your guys.
Against
that's
us.
Right.
17 points. That's the closest. I don't think that's – look. Terrence Shannon Jr. is the best player in the tournament, Frank, with apologies to Zach Edey. Terrence Shannon Jr. is the best player in this tournament. Nobody can stop him. He was 10 for 19, I think, last night, or 11 for 20. He shot better than 50%. He was out of the game. He comes back in off the bench after a long rest and drains a critical three. Illinois has size, depth, experience. They got juniors and seniors. They're going to Calipari's one and dones out there for Illinois. So I think Illinois can take them. And I'm looking again. I'm zeroing in on them. I know there were other takeaways from last night. But you mentioned most of it, and I agree with you. Alabama-Clemson is a curious matchup. But UConn has to dominate anybody's thoughts of analysis after watching them and what they've done so far through three games.
Yeah. It'd be interesting, too, to see UConn finally get in a close game. And you mentioned Illinois. Terrific offensive team. And they beat a great defensive team last night in Iowa State. UConn, also a good defensive team. One thing about the guy, Shannon, that you mentioned, he had 29 points, Mike, in 22 minutes. He had foul trouble. If he plays 32
minutes,
he
missed like
probably,
five foul shots.
Mike,
he missed foul shots. He'd have 35.
He would have scored 40 points last night if he had played 32 minutes.
Yeah.
What an unbelievable play. That's going to be a good matchup. Plus the two coaches, they got a lot of old school in, and they're, hard-driving coaches.
Fiery,
that can
man.
Get pretty intense.
Yeah,
that can get
watch.
Really intense between Hurley and Underwood. Absolutely. All right, like last night, we have 2-1 seeds and 2-2 seeds in action tonight. With the ones, Purdue takes on Gonzaga, and Houston faces Duke. And for the twos, it's Marquette against NC State and Tennessee matching up with Creighton. Mike, which of the ones and twos appear most vulnerable to you?
All of them. All of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to, in honor of Tony in his off day, I'm going to go to the glasses, as he would say. And can I, Purdue is the team I think I favor the most in their matchup with Gonzaga.
Yep.
Could I see Houston losing to Duke? Of course I could. Could I see NC State continuing their sort of imitation of 1983 NC State?
Yes.
And beating Marquette? Yes, I could. And can I see Creighton winning and beating Tennessee? Sure. These are maybe not dead even matchups, although I think three of them are. But I think the underdog can win all of these again. I think I'm going into the night, Frank, thinking that Purdue is the team I most expect to win out of this. Other than that, I'm not watching with expectation. We've gotten to the point of the tournament where worthy teams have advanced to face each other. So
you're right.
All of them, all the ones and twos are vulnerable to me.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, you mentioned NC State. They're the lowest seed remaining in the tournament, but that's an ACC school. They've already beaten Duke in the ACC tournament. They beat North Carolina.
So it
doesn't matter who they match up against. And, like, how about the kid, DJ Burns? He's like college basketball's answer to Nikola Jokic. He doesn't look like he could be a ballerina, but he's got some panache to his game. His great vision, his touch around the basket. He is a lot of fun to watch. One thing about Purdue. They should know this. Gonzaga is not in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, because the last 2 years, they lost to St. Peter's, New Jersey City in the tournament, and then they lost to FDU up in Teaneck, New Jersey. So maybe that'll be a break for them. The two teams did meet in November, and Gonzaga ended up losing to Purdue. Also, Tennessee Creighton, pretty interesting stat. I know you wanted me to give you a little analytics here. Creighton only fouls 11 times a game. That's lowest
in
the
country.
Tennessee gets 20% of its points every game
from
the free throw line. So give Creighton a lot of credit. They defend you without fouling, and the Big East only got three teams in it, Mike. And guess what? All three are still alive. That could change tonight because I got a feeling about NC State as well. It's hard to believe, Mike, you mentioned it, 41 years ago that they went on that run. How amazing is that? Hard to believe.
It is amazing. I was there, which means I'm pretty old. I'm going to pick winners tonight. Since we talked about vulnerability. I'm going to go with Purdue beating Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Houston, so I'm going with the two number ones there. I'm going with Marquette to beat NC State. I am, because I got Marquette in my Final Four. But I'm going to go with Creighton. I hate to use the word upset. I'm going to go Creighton over Tennessee.
By the way, NC State, seven-game winning streak they're on right now.
Seven-game winning streak, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Let's move to the women's Sweet 16. Unbeaten South Carolina, just now underway against Indiana. And will be followed tonight by Powers, Stanford, and Texas. Then tomorrow we get to see Angel Reese and LSU, Caitlin Clark and Iowa, Juju Watkins and SC, the other SC, Southern Cal, and Paige Beckers and UConn. Frank, do you expect all of the marquee teams and stars to make it through to the Elite Eight?
You know what? I don't know if that's going to happen. We've already had Notre Dame lose earlier today to Oregon State, so that's a higher-seeded team being knocked out. And LSU and Iowa both suddenly look vulnerable. And those, remember, Mike, those were home games. Here's my thing, though. When you were running off the teams, you mentioned the stars. And for so long in men's college basketball has been like this, you always kind of identify the programs with the coaches. But right now, you know, Angel Reese, Juju Watkins at USC, Paige Beckers at UConn, and, of course, you know, Caitlin Clark. It almost feels like the NBA in the 90s where we're identifying these teams with star players. This has an opportunity this weekend to be the greatest weekend for the women's tournament because there's a lot of good teams and there's marquee players and maybe NIL, maybe the fact that we see these players now in commercials, these young ladies.
Yes,
and besides the fact that they're great, great players, this weekend
is
a great basketball weekend and the women's tournament has a lot to do with it.
Frank, it is. The star power of it is undeniable and it's turned the whole college basketball scene on its head. Where
it really has.
The men stay for a year. You know, they go to school maybe for two semesters, and a lot of the women, the stars, stay for four or five. And you
That's
get
right.
used to seeing them, and you know what their styles are and how they interact with each other and their coaches and teammates and opponents. I'm looking at this, though, to answer that question about whether they all advance. Look, Iowa can lose to Colorado. They've struggled.
Yep.
LSU's playing UCLA, which has its own stars. I mean, UCLA, to me, every bit is good. I know that LSU is a defending national champion, but UCLA has its own aspirations and seems ready to take that next step. And Southern Cal, is great to have both UCLA and Southern Cal in this. I mean, Baylor's not going to be any pushover. And Duke with Carol Lawson, I followed Carol Lawson's career and life since he was a little girl in Washington, D.C. in the DMV. Carol Lawson is a friend I root for her no matter where she is. She was at the Celtics as an assistant coach for a while. It was a wonderful feature on ESPN about Carol Lawson and life's difficulties and how to navigate it. Carol Lawson's one of my favorite people in all of sports in 40 years of doing this. So I'm rooting for her, and I'm rooting for Kiki Rice. And I got stars that I'm rooting for in this. I got their skin in the game for me. I cannot wait for these games. You know, let's take a break.
One thing real quickly about Carol Lawson. Go ask Stevens about her. Stevens raved about Carol. Another thing, too, LSU-Iowa, if we get them on Monday, how are the ratings for that game going to be? Come on.
Huge. They should be huge.
Pretty good.
Yep. Coming up, who had the better start for his new team, Juan Soto for the Yanks or Corbin Burns for the O's?
And who needs to win more tonight, the Warriors or the streaking Rockets? I told you, this is a huge basketball weekend.
Rockets, tournament, man. It NBA. Is a huge weekend. It is.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Time to put the L in Isola and toss up what's first.
Toss up bigger opening day impact with his new team, Juan Soto or Corbin Burns?
You know, Frank, I'm still a starting pitching guy, which makes me like some sort of museum piece that I don't want a bullpen day over a starting pitcher who in six innings goes 11 strikeouts and no walks.
Six innings. Thank God.
I mean, in six. I mean, unbelievable. First of all, you would never have that in the old days, just six innings. If you win 11 strikeouts and no walks, you're going eight at least because nobody's going to insist they take the ball from you in the new Major League Baseball, which I find loathsome in that context. Now, look, I know Juan Soto had that game-saving, strike he threw from right field, and he had a nice debut. But I'm going Burns. 11, come on. 11 strikeouts, no walks in six. That's the bigger impact for me.
He did give up a home run in the first inning to Mike Trout.
That's okay.
So it's good to see Mike Trout back and swinging well. I'm going to go with Juan Soto because he's not to be confused with Roberto Clemente out there in the outfield. You know, there's one out, two runners on. It's a one-run game in the ninth inning. And remember Juan Soto, who's got a great bat, and we saw what he did a few years ago with the Nationals leading them to the World Series. You know, his first spring training game for the Yankees, exhibition game, hit a home run. This was the equivalent of it. He saved the game with that was a one-bound strike to the catcher, Jose Trevino. They reviewed the play. He was out by a mile. That was a great play by Juan Soto, who, Mike, I know you don't want to hear this, but you have Aaron Judge, and now with Soto, Soto was going to become immensely popular in the Bronx for the Yankees. The big thing will be he's a free agent after the season. So game one, he already paid dividends with what he did. But Baltimore, to your point, though, last year, nice little underdog story.
Come on now.
Now it's not being about being an underdog. And that was a good sign for them in the first
game.
And
if you can start the season with this guy at the top of your rotation doing that, not that he can go 11-0 again in
but
even nine
six.
Innings, much less six, it's still amazing.
Six is the new nine.
Yeah, right? It is, sadly, for baseball. What's next?
Toss up, who needs a win more tonight, the Warriors or the Rockets?
The Warriors, Frank, this is easy for me, especially with the newest Draymond Green controversy.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we keep waiting and we keep thinking, well, Draymond said the right thing this time and he came back from a suspension this time and he understands he can't do any more this time. No, he doesn't. He doesn't get it because he keeps doing it. 5 minutes into a game, you're going to have such an exchange with officials that you don't recognize the need for you to be on the floor. Here's the problem, Frank, for the Warriors. And this is why they don't curb his behavior and why they don't say enough, zero tolerance. Because they know they cannot win without him.
Yeah.
But they also can't win with him. They're getting near that danger point. When you see Steph Curry have that level of reaction, what you're seeing is, oh, my God, we're in a no-win. We can't do without this guy, but he's not going to let us do it with him anymore. But the Warriors have to win these games. They got an easy schedule the rest of the way. They got to win, Frank, and Houston's on fire. Otherwise, guess what for the league? Steph, Draymond, Klay at home for the play-in? Yeah. Unbelievable.
I'm going to go with the Rockets, who would make it 11 in a row, because remember, they're on the road. They're only 11-24 on the road. So Ime Udoka, who's done a great job, Jalen Green
job.
At 37 points.
Great job.
And by the way, the Rockets and the Warriors will play each other next week. But getting back to Draymond Green for a minute, how incredibly selfish is it of him to do something like that? You're on the second night of a back-to-back. Jonathan Kuminga's not playing. And, Mike, you're right. He is an intelligent player who does dumb things on the court because he knows when you get one, you're in danger of getting the second. That kind of gave off a vibe, like you said, less than 5 minutes into the game, like you don't want to play. That's not the end of the game. It's been a hotly contested game. A call goes your way. You're getting kicked out less than 5 minutes in. That's a bad look for him. And you're right about Steph Curry's reaction. But you mentioned their schedule being easy. Remember, they got a makeup game against Dallas at home. So they'll be like around Texas. They'll have to fly to San Francisco. Then they got to come back.
Dallas.
See how they fare over these next two weeks.
Frank.
I don't think it's going to be easy for them.
That's a great point. You know what I'm wondering now? Are we seeing the last of Draymond Green in the Golden State uniform? Because how do you go forward with this when it never stops? It seems more extreme, and maybe my memory's failing me. I don't want to be a recency bias guy. It seems more extreme than Rodman was in Detroit and Chicago, where Draymond just, you know, it's just not going to happen that he's going to be able to curb his behavior.
Hey, it would have been a bigger story if they lost the other night, Mike. Remember that.
It would have been. They at least won that game. They got Charlotte tonight. That's an easy win. It better be. That's it. Let's take one last break, but still to come. My Cubbies can't get through opening day without bad news.
Speaking of bad news, how could the Celtics lose two straight to the Hawks? Wait for it.
Not paying attention, Frank. They're not.
You're right.
I know DeJounte was prolific, but they weren't paying attention again. And I get that. Yeah. I really do.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 79th birthday, Walt Frazier. Before Clyde analyzed the Knicks, he starred for them. He led the franchise to its only two titles in 1970 and 73. And as Kornheiser will tell you endlessly, he starred alongside teammates Willis Reed, Bill Bradley, Dick Barnett, Dave DeBuscher, Earl Monroe, and Phil Jackson. Frazier made seven All-Star teams and was named to the NBA's 50th and 75th anniversary teams. He was the first person ever inducted into the Hall of Fame as both a player and broadcaster. He and Mike Breen have been calling Knicks games on the telly for 25 years now, and this year they get to cover a team that's currently the third seed in the East and could move up.
Yeah, Walt Frazier was a childhood sports hero of mine. Getting to know him when I covered the Knicks, it was an absolute thrill. I'll give you the essence of Walt Frazier. The most iconic moment in Knick history is Willis Reed limping out before Game 7 of the 70 championship. Everyone remembers that. In that Game 7, Walt had 36 points and 19 assists.
Yeah,
and he's not bitter about it. He says, you know what, it's all about the team.
One of the five most underrated players ever. Kiddies,
that's right.
Google Walt
all
Clyde
class.
Frazier.
All class.
Happy anniversary, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. On this day 42 years ago, the North Carolina freshman hit an iconic jumper with 16 seconds left to put the Tar Heels ahead of Patrick Ewing in Georgetown in the national title game. The win was sealed seconds later when Hoyas guard Fred Brown, my man, mistakenly passed the ball to James Worthy. Jordan's game winner catapulted him to national prominence, but it was better known in the moment for lifting Dean Smith to his first title after 21 years coaching the Tar Heels. Jordan averaged 20 per game his next two seasons at Carolina, then went third overall to the Chicago Bulls, and the rest, as you know, is history.
What I remember about that game was Ewing blocking all those shots or goaltending all those shots early, and then the two guys from Gastonia, North Carolina, Sleepy Floyd of Georgetown and James Worthy. You want to talk about being overshadowed?
Great game.
James Worthy was 13 of 17 in that game for 28 points. What a game he had that day against Georgetown.
You know what I remember about that game, Frank? I was there covering it for the Washington Post, my first final championship game. Woo, I'm old. Happy trails, Justin Steele. This is melancholy trails. The Cubs will reportedly place their ace on the 15-day injured list with a left hamstring injury after he tumbled to the turf while fielding a bunt against the Rangers yesterday. Steele left the game with one out to go in the fifth, having struck out six and given up just one run. He was dealing. The Rangers went on to win that game in 10 innings. Steele was 16-5 with a 306 last season, and the Cubs have been counting on him to be the anchor of what appears to be a thin rotation. I'm bummed already, Frank. It's just a damn opener.
Mike, you got to get over it. The Yankees' ace, Garrett Cole's on the 60-day injured list, so they're not going to have him for at least 2 months. Do you think the Cubs could make the playoffs? It's an expanded playoffs,
yes,
Mike, remember.
But we need Steele.
You think they can...
2 weeks won't kill it. We need Steele. We do. We need him. Yeah. No errors today. We're running out of show. Let's jump to the big finish. The Celtics, Frank, lost to the lowly, 10th-place Hawks for the second straight time. How does this happen?
Mike, think about it. They blew a 30-point lead on Monday. Then they lose last night in overtime. DeJounte Murray, 44 points on 44 shots. That's the most in the NBA over the last 20 years. Only Russell Westbrook and Kobe have taken more shots in a game.
You're going to trade Trae Young in the offseason? I'm just asking. The NBA fined Nick Nurse and Kelly Oubre $50,000 each for verbally abusing the officials after that non-call cost the Sixers against the Clippers. They got hosed. Frank,
Mike,
is it fair?
Kelly Oubre should have been suspended for that.
Ooh.
At least one game for the way he went after the referees.
Okay, they got hosed. Lionel Messi will not play Saturday night against New York City FC. Is that understandable, Frank?
I think, he is nursing an injury. They want him to play Wednesday in the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Championship Cup.
All right.
That's against Monterrey. But he does play at Yankee Stadium in September. I fully expect you to be there, Mike. Jerry McNamara is the new head coach at Siena. Does that make sense?
Sure, he's been an associate head coach, but he's Syracuse. He is Syracuse basketball, almost as much as like Jim Boeheim is Syracuse basketball. But, congratulations. Last one.
Yeah.
Mavericks at Kings again tonight. Frank, who do you like in the rematch?
Mike, you know this. Sacramento needs it. They lost by 36 the other night. Another good game tonight. You get Minnesota at Denver for first place in the Western
Conference. Light the beam.
Not bad. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. It is a basketball weekend. Get locked in. Now, here's SportsCenter.
BTI.